Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through John chapter 14. It's the first of the chapters I'm looking at over this week into next week, maybe the following week as we make our way to the celebration of Easter. Listening to the words, trying to take a deeper dive into understanding the words of Jesus at the Last Supper discourse and speaking with the apostles and Our Lady and others who were present. It's one of the most theologically rich, profound sources of revelation about the inner life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus' plan and purpose and what's unfolding, and the apostles' engagement around it, and Jesus' promises to those who follow him, which means you and me. And so here we are making our way through Lent in this season, the purpose of which is to lead us to deeper radical conversion, turning toward deeper surrender of our lives to Jesus, which means not just a matter of rule following. I think sometimes it's very easy, especially as Catholics, my experience even kind of growing up and have seen it many other places, is like life in the church is kind of reduced to a moral striving, just getting everything right and listening to the commandments and making sure we get the commandments right. And when I stumble, then the commandments matter tremendously. If you've listened to the program, I talk about it all the time. But what we're talking about is at its core is the miraculous, astounding, mind-boggling reality that the God of the universe is revealed to us in his son Jesus. And God has come for us, literally. He's come to save us. He's come to open up his life to us. He's come to reveal himself to us and the destiny which without his help we could not lay hold of, we couldn't see, we couldn't understand. And in Jesus, it's all being revealed perfectly and beautifully. And so walking through this together and these words which are living and active, words breathed by the Holy Spirit through the beloved, you know, the heart of the beloved Apostle John, recounting the words that Jesus communicated to them at this most intimate moment, just hours before Jesus is going to be arrested, before he goes to the cross and saves us through that act of love by which he surrendered himself to the Father and on our behalf brought down the kingdom of darkness and broke the power of Satan and the world of flesh and the devil. So the last word belongs to the Lord and not to the grave or not to Satan or even our own regrets or whatever. The Lord is the Lord, and he gets the last word. He's the first and the last. So we left off in chapter 14, verse 21. Verse 20 is where we left off. He's talking about the inner life of the Trinity. He's revealing to the apostles that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit he's going to give is going to dwell in them. And he said, you're going to be in me, and I'm going to be in you just as the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. So this is the great transition. This is what salvation is, friends. This is a key dimension of salvation. We think of salvation as being washed in the blood of Jesus, which it is. It can't happen without that. But we need to see clearly that the cleansing and the washing in the blood of Jesus and the offer of his sacrifice, which we're reflecting on in this season, and we will really look at it closely on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, it's about making it possible for this to happen, what Jesus is describing. Jesus is saying, I'm not just kind of washing you up, like giving you a bath and then giving you a Bible and saying, now follow this and stick to it. He's saying, what this is about is I'm going to make you a new creation. I'm going to come and live in you and live in you the way the Father has lived in me. You don't understand that now, but the day's coming when you will, is what he says. And that's the beginning of what's going to happen for all eternity. And it's going to be more glorious every step of the way. In some ways, you know, Jesus says, the scripture says, Paul, I think it is, you know, we move from one degree of glory to the next. Well, we know that life circumstances, there's a veil of tears reality that's present in this world. It doesn't always feel like glory. But the saints show us that mystery and the beauty of it, that even in the midst of trials and difficulties and heartbreaks and struggles, the glory is the deeper union with God, the deeper ongoing, slow, mature, baby step by baby step, small steps at times, mostly small steps, of the growing reality of God, God's love at work in us in the Holy Spirit and our being slowly transformed. And that transformation is going to happen most fully, probably, or it's going to be completed after we die, so that we can come into the presence of the holy God. So there's so much here that Jesus is revealing. So verse 21, he goes on, he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." So it's the second time in just this section where Jesus said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." He's underlining it again. He's looking at the apostles. They're around a table. And he's looking at them. They're looking at him. And he said, "Now, the person who has my commandments," remember the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments and all the things that are present. Jesus said, "I haven't come to remove them. I've come to fulfill them." Every part of the law, he's come to fulfill. He said, "Okay, those who have my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." So it's not enough to have a sentiment or feeling toward the Lord. It's to have a heart that's radically set on wanting to fulfill the commandments out of a heart that loves. Jesus knows we're not perfect. We're going to fall. That's why he said 70 times, 7 times a day, letting us know that in our weakness, if we fall, he's there. He wants to bring us back. But if we don't keep them, that is, lay hold of them, seek them first, literally integrate them into our lives and do our part in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, who's present in us, a new power that's really revealing the law of love within us over time, giving us a new power, a new capacity to walk in love. That's what it means to keep them, to live with in obedience and to yield to the help that the Lord is giving. Again, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. So if you're listening, this word is for you and it's for me. Imagine you're sitting there with the apostles, or Jesus is with you right now in your kitchen or in your car, wherever you are. He said, "If you have my commandments, the ones I've given you, and you keep them close to your heart, and you desire them, you seek me in them, you seek to follow them, because they're a light to your path, this is the one who loves me. Not the one who finds my commandments just to be a burden or a weight. You don't pay much attention to them. You have your own commandments you're living by." Jesus says, "No, if you seek me, if you keep these, it's this person who loves me." That's how Jesus knows you love him. And he goes on to say, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father." What Jesus is doing is bringing us into the communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's bringing us into the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he said, that person, to him or to her, who does indeed keep my commandments, I will love him, I will love her, and I will manifest myself to them. Jesus is committed to manifesting in your heart, giving a revelation of who he is through the instrumental grace, the amazing grace of the Holy Spirit that's present in us. The Holy Spirit wants to, in obedience, he's going to show us everything that Jesus taught. Jesus is going to want to say, he's going to manifest it to, but he gives it to the hungry. He gives it to those who thirst for it. Not people who are just like, you know, have a toe in the water or are buying a little bit of fire insurance to get out of, you know, to make sure if there's a hell to get out of it, or to mainly live in the twilight and want to really be engaged in the world in a way that's inappropriate and just be passionately pursuing those things and not giving much to the Lord. That person's not going to get what Jesus is describing. Jesus will remain a stranger because they'll be in the world and of the world at the same time. And he goes on to say, Judas Iscariot said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." He's kind of repeating it again for Judas to answer Judas's question. This is the deal. What does deep conversion mean? More radical abandonment to the love of God and to a yes with everything we have to his commandments and what he reveals to us. And he said, that person is one who keeps my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Christianity is about a communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is why, friends, Christianity is God's revelation to the world. There is no other way that this happens. There's no other religion that accomplishes this. Jesus is the only way. And this reality is what salvation is about. other religions are kind of proposing ways of perfecting yourself, maybe, or habits or self-control or ways of meditating that give you peace and quiet. And it's sometimes people assume that this is happening in that context. It's not. It happens through a person. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, but through him. The Father draws them to Jesus. Jesus draws them to the Father. Jesus is a real historical person. God is a person. God is not just a general force that everybody's kind of tapping into the way they want to tap into it. He's revealing himself, who he is. And then Jesus goes on, he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is a central theme. Jesus is saying, if you reject me, you reject the Father. That's it. Because I speak to you the words of the Father. And I am the word which has come from the Father. I'm the inner heart and life of the Father. That is, I've from all eternity, we've been united. I'm God's Son. And so the Father's giving everything and revealing the Son for the sake of the world. So he said, if you don't listen to me, if you reject my words, you're not just rejecting me, you are rejecting the Father. You're rejecting your Creator, God himself. He said, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. It's important, Jesus will underline again and again. When he communicates to the Father in John 17, he'll underline it especially. He'll say, Father, I've given you the word you gave me. I've given it to the apostles, to my disciples. And they've received it, and they believe that I've come from you and that you sent me, that you are the only true God and that I have come from you. Very important key thing to understanding what Jesus is all about. He's come to reveal the one Father of us all. Verse 25. He goes on to say, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So here Jesus is unfolding, what can you expect from the Counselor, the one who's going to give you counsel? He's going to comfort you. He's going to educate you. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you power. He's going to give you a new capacity. This gift of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in the name of Jesus, it's very important. He said, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit helps us remember the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us internalize it, to surrender to it, to walk in obedience to it, and to begin to live in the promises and the life and the ministry that Jesus wants his church to live in. He'll teach you all things, and he'll bring to remembrance. Then he ends this section here. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now he's back to the same theme that he started at the beginning of this chapter with. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. The world is going to be troubled at times. It's going to be filled with all kinds of fear. The fear of death will be everywhere in a fallen world, but not you. You don't have to be afraid. I've come to give you peace. Now, friends, think about the condition of our country, the division, the rage, the hatred, the chaos, the confusion. There's something very dark that's happening in the culture. And it's time for God's people to embrace the words of Jesus so we can walk in peace and be a light in a very dark time. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.